D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. Predators versus Canucks coming up at 7 o'clock. And to help us break that down, plus the entire landscape of the NHL, we welcome in Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, on D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick. And Elliot, actually, before we get to the hockey talk, I need a report on the buzz in Toronto as the Blue Jays prepare to open the World Series against the Dodgers.
Well, I'll say this, Adam. Like, I've gone to two playoff games. The atmosphere was electric at both of them. We have broadcasts on Friday and Saturday. The Sabres and the Leafs are playing a back-to-back. We had the Leafs move the game on Saturday early. They're dropping it to a puck at 5 o'clock instead of the regular 7. And we are joking that we could go on air and say the most ridiculous things, like the Maple Leafs have all traveled to Venus and will not be able to be at the game tonight, and no one is going to care.
I will say this, Elliot. I did get a little worried for the Blue Jays when I saw Vladimir Guerrero Jr. arriving for Game 7 in an Austin Matthews jersey, considering the Maple Leafs' history with Game 7s. But it worked out.
Yeah, it was. It did, you know, if the Maple Leafs go anywhere, people are going to credit Guerrero for breaking the curse, right? Because I'll tell you this, Adam, the whole country had the same reaction that you did when they saw the pictures. Like, if you saw the replies, it was like, why? The different group chats I had with friends and coworkers were like, is this guy nuts? Like, that's the jersey he would wear? But Guerrero is on such a roll right now and is such a stud that ancient curses cannot stop him.
That is true.
That is very true. So, Elliot, the Anaheim Ducks were here a couple of nights ago, and Ross Johnston, of all people, had a three-point night. By the way, Willie Donick with an expert announcer jinx before
Elliot.
Ross Johnston scored.
I mean, four seconds before he scored the goal at the beginning of the game, I said something like, not much skill on this line. And sure enough, boom. I mean,
that's hilarious, man.
Yes. And it was noted by some fans.
Yes,
it was
and me. I made sure to point it out as well.
I had to wear it. I had to wear it, as they say.
You know, I'll say this about Ross Johnston. Like, he is a really popular teammate. On the island, when they had to let him go and he got claimed on waivers by the Ducks, there were a lot of people there in the organization that were really sore to see him go. So I have no doubt that there were a lot of people inside the game who know him who were thrilled for him in that night.
The reason I bring up Ross Johnston, Elliot, is he had 3 points in 8 minutes and 53 seconds of ice time against the Predators on Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's more points than Steven Stamkos has all season for the Nashville Predators. And Willie and I talked about this yesterday, and I want your opinion on this as well. I'm starting to get a little concerned about Steven Stamkos. I feel like I'm not noticing him on the ice much. There are limitations, of course, with the level of talent on the team versus the level of talent on his previous team. That's something that we noted when the Predators signed him last summer. But I'm starting to get a little concerned that Steven Stamkos may have lost a little bit of that touch. And watching Stamkos, have you noticed anything similar?
You know, I knew, Adam, that this was going to be a topic. And for a rare occasion, I actually decided to do some research. I was like, I better actually do research into this. And I understand your concern, and I'll tell you that I share it. Now, I am a big Stamkos truther. I am a big fan of his, personally and professionally. He is a proud, proud guy, and a lot of lesser men would have quit and not gotten to where he got with some of the injuries he faced. I'm concerned, too. I think the thing I'm most concerned about is that he's not making an impact on the power play. You know, 5-on-5, yeah, you want it to be more, always, but Stamkos' bread and butter was always the power play. He'd be in his spot, he has that wicked shot, and he could change a game with one blast. And, you know, I don't think you can solely blame it on, you know, the Predators can't get it to him, although that's an issue. I'm shocked at how lack of an effect he's having on games on the power play. That is the thing that stands out to me, Adam, is I figured even if it didn't work so well at 5-on-5, the power play would make everything else worthwhile. And it's not doing that.
Part of me wonders, Elliot, I know it was incredibly difficult for Steven Stamkos to leave Tampa.
You can't say that anymore. It's been a year.
Okay.
Adam, I really believe that. Like, hey, it was tough. It was jarring. It was like even Julien Brisebois, the GM of the Lightning, who I think is ice cold, was rattled making that decision because he knew how big it was. But you know what, Adam? Like, we're all pros or aspire to be in what we do, right? There's a point where you've got to close the door. You've got to move on. Life happens. Everybody understands that. We've all been transferred from a job. We've all been moved on from a job. Life happens. You can't mope forever. You have to adjust. And I think deep down, maybe not even deep down, I think maybe the Stamkos I know would not accept that as an excuse at this point either.
Where I was going with that, Elliot, is Steven Stamkos, that's okay. Steven Stamkos had to uproot his life and move to Nashville. I agree with you. It's past time for him to have the hard feelings about what happened in Tampa. But here is something I have started to wonder, just within my own mind. If Steven Stamkos sees how this Predators season is going, how this team is trending, could you see a world where Steven Stamkos approaches Barry Trotz about waiving his no-movement clause and joining a contender where perhaps he can get back to being the Steven Stamkos we know he can be?
Boy, you're trying to get me.
I'm not trying to radio you, I promise.
Like 3 weeks of the season.
I'm not trying to radio you, I promise.
That's what I'm here for. Okay, let me just say this clearly and carefully. Okay, if this continues the way it's going, okay, I could see a situation where both sides sit down and talk and say, what are our options here? How's that?
That works for me. I do not want to radio you. I know how difficult that can be.
I don't, honestly, Adam, like if it doesn't get better, could you not see a situation where it is beneficial to both team and player to explore it?
I could see that, yes.
Yeah, not next week.
Yes, but not next week.
But down the road somewhere, could it get to that? Yeah, without question. Without question. I think there's more there. I think there's more there than he's shown. Let's see how it works. Now let's flip. Elliot, you know, with Vancouver in town, you guys are always on top of it, the storylines. What have you made from them? And looking at some of their numbers, they have done a very good job staying afloat, even though the analytics don't look very good for them. So it looks to me like Thatcher Demko and Kevin Lankinen have played very well for them.
They've got kind of the same issue that you guys do. They've got a bit of a hole in the middle. Now, they've got Pettersson, who when he's going is a really good center. But now, especially with the injuries suffered this week by Filip Hedl, they're really thin down the middle. And it got exposed the other night. Pittsburgh gave them a lot of trouble. So, like, they have an elite player in Hughes. He's a star of stars. He'll be at the Olympics this year. Pettersson, after a really slow start, has started to get going. I agree. I agree that their goaltending has been very good. But, you know, that is a team that, like you guys, spent all summer looking for centers, an impact center, and they are hard, hard, hard to find. You know, it's just amazing. You think 2 years ago, these two teams were in a brutally tough, entertaining first-round series. And I don't think anybody would have imagined that this is where they'd be 2 years later.
It's a great point. And that leads me to the next question about the Canucks is, in that series, when you get a real close look at a player for a couple weeks, you maybe appreciate him on a higher level. Quinn Hughes just means so much to the team. And I've heard your podcast on 32 Thoughts talk about, you've had interviews with him directly about the future there. So what's the temperature at this point? He's so essential to their success with what he does with the puck. And I know everybody in Vancouver's kind of hinging on, is he going to make the long-term commitment to that team?
It's sort of like the, I was joking about with a buddy that the interview with Hughes that we did this year at the media tour in September was like you ask someone to the prom and their answer is maybe, and you're sitting there going, this might not end very well for me. Look, like, one thing Hughes said at the beginning was, I want to see how we start. They're what, 4-3? Could be worse. I think this year is going to tell everything. If Vancouver has a bad year, I think they could be looking for somebody else to go to the prom with them. If they have a really good year, I think it increases their chances. But he laid it out there. Like, you can't accuse the guy of sugarcoating it. He came right out and said, we better have a good year.
Elliot, I want to follow up on Elias Pettersson. The talk after the game in Pittsburgh on Tuesday was deployment for Elias Pettersson. And I had an opportunity to ask Adam Foote about this earlier today, and he came prepared.
Yeah. Oh, so you were the guy who was all over the
all over
the internet today.
Yes, all over the internet. That was me, apparently. But Adam Foote came prepared. You'll appreciate this, Elliot. Your colleague, Dan Murphy, is here. And Adam Foote was taking a little bit longer to leave the coach's room before his news conference. And Dan said to me, he's being prepped to answer this question. And he, I will give Adam Foote credit. He went in depth quite a bit on how he's using Elias Pettersson specifically on Tuesday, but also in general. But that player is under such a constant state of pressure. Yeah. What have you seen from Pettersson? Because a lot of the Canucks' success hinges on his performance, especially with Hedl out, Bluger's injured, that center depth is a mess.
Oh, it's the pressure is enormous. You know what I like, and I think a lot of people, I think sometimes guys like Pettersson, like Matt Sundin, when he played in Toronto, sometimes I always felt that he wasn't Mark Messier. He wasn't screaming in people's faces. He didn't have the super intense eyes. And I think at times, you know, you confuse that with like a lack of effort. But the one thing that I really think about Pettersson is, whether he scores or he doesn't, Adam, you want to see someone impose their will on the ice. Like, one thing I think about Ryan O'Reilly is, whether he's scoring or not, you notice him. Like, he's winning a puck battle, or he's doing something really intelligent. Like, he's the kind of guy who can have no points, and you want Pettersson to have points because he's a scorer, but you see ways that he impacts the game, right? Sometimes I want to see more of that from Pettersson. Like, the other night, they won a game where he blocked two shots at the end of the game on the last shift. They were two of the ugliest shot blocks in history, but it didn't matter. He threw his body right in front of them. And that's what he can do. Like, just make an impact on the game. And if he does that, everybody will be happy.
Elliot, we saw Jonathan Toews for the first time live Saturday in Winnipeg. It coincided with your interview with him, which was good. And it brought back a lot of memories for Predator fans with all those battles, three specifically in the playoffs in the first round. Taves never got the boos like Patrick Kane did, but still, you think of those teams, he is one of the top two or three names that come to mind in that rivalry. So he looked pretty good to me on Saturday. But they've got – are they pretty happy with how he looks right now for what they thought they were going to get?
I'm actually pleasantly surprised, Willie. Actually, one of my buddies joked about that interview. He said, Taze looked good, the shot looked good, you look hideous. That's what he said to me. But, no, you know what? I think everyone's been pleasantly surprised. Like, when I saw him that day, if you'll remember, I don't know if you remember what he looked like when he last played in Chicago, but with everything that was bothering him physically and mentally, he'd gotten heavy. Like, he didn't look like himself. When I saw him, and we did that interview the day before the regular season started, like, he looked strong, and his legs looked massive. Like, he looked really physically powerful. But, like, I really wanted to set a low bar, Willie. Like, he'd been gone for 910 days. I didn't expect a lot. And he's exceeded my expectations. He scored in the game after the one you're mentioning. But, like for me, he's been better than I thought he was going to be. And they've got a lot of injuries, and I think they're 5-1. He's a big part of that, real big part of that.
There was another really good article that caught my attention on the Canucks, but I think it also relates to the Predators. And a theme that you hit on early in this interview about how hard it is to find centers for some teams. Thomas Drantz from The Athletic went through a long laundry list of things that Vancouver looked at or tried unsuccessfully to upgrade its center. And I have to believe, with what Barry Trotz has said publicly, that he probably looked at some of these same options and couldn't find one. The Predators have a lot of prospects around the same age, and you're looking ahead 2 or 3 years. I don't know if all of them are going to hit, but he's got some things to trade, and he clearly has some question marks at center. But maybe you can help illustrate to people here how many teams are looking for centers like the Canucks and the Predators are.
I think the bigger question is who isn't. they're really hard to find. They are really hard to find. And, you know, like when Barry Trotz tells you he's looking for a center and he's been doing it for a year, it hasn't happened not because lack of trying. It hasn't happened because I bet at best he thinks he's making a lateral move, or at worst he thinks he's giving up something that's too much for what he thinks can really help him, or there are just not a lot of them available. Like, one of the guys who I think some teams are looking at right now, especially with the way San Jose started, is Wennberg. And I just think that the Sharks are probably in a position here. They don't have to rush into anything. There's no pressure on them. And, like, one of the things is that they can probably wait and be patient. And I'm sure some of the – and he has some control over it, too. But I think that that's the thing right now, Willie, is that there's more teams looking than there are reasonable solutions to your problem. I think Barry could have probably acquired some guys who would have said, hey, look, I made a move. But when it got down to it, were they really going to be a difference or what you needed? Yeah, I'm not convinced about that.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, has been our guest on The Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Thursday during hockey season, and he is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, great stuff as always. Enjoy the World Series. We'll catch up next week.
All right, Jason Six, for no sensible reason.
Hey, Elliot, you saw me jump on the bandwagon, right? I sent you the picture of my medicine hat, uniform, and baseball card from 1993. I'm just saying, first time they're in the series since 93. Could there be a connection?
There you go.
I expect this to be in 32
Willie,
thoughts.
Your buddy Caleb is becoming a big star up here, man.
He is a star, isn't he? He's done a great job. It was great. We were up there all week, and so I was communicating with him. He was doing the field. He's talking about Caleb Joseph. Grew up in Nashville, played high school ball here, played for the Orioles, and ended his career with Blue Jays. Now doing a lot of work for the Sportsnet World Series broadcast, so he's the man. He's the man. He just came back yesterday for a couple days.
He's becoming a big star. Big star.
Good for him.
Elliot, we'll talk next week.
Take care.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on what Elliot had to say about the Nashville Predators. We'll also get back into the Tennessee Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.